Hello and welcome to All You Ever Wanted to Know. I am Jordan Patswold, special guest joining us on the program today from Focus on the Family. Wendy Kitlitz joining us, VP of Counseling and Care Ministries with Focus, and she is also the Executive Director of Focus's initiative, Careth Retreats, which we've talked about in the past as a ministry that provides, retreat opportunities for pastors and their spouses. A chance to get away and also recharge. And first of all, Wendy, thanks so much for joining us on All You Ever Wanted to Know. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well today. The sun is shining, and we're so happy to have that after all the rain we've had this winter.
Oh, and we've had just unspeakable amounts of snow, so I suppose we're in similar boats for sure. Now, a couple of things we're going to be talking about today. I just want to take a note, though, when I heard that someone from Careth Retreats was going to be joining me, I wanted to do a thank you here. On behalf of The Rock 98.5, we partnered with Careth Retreats, Yorkton Ministerial, and a lot of other people from the area, too. In light of what happened regarding the Humboldt Broncos bus crash, which will also be part of our topic today, Scott Fitzsimmons, my coworker, felt it necessary in a lot of ways to make sure Sean is getting the help and support that he needs, and providing a retreat for Sean, in part through funds raised by the Yorkton Ministerial, Scott, some of his friends, and also covering the difference was Careth Retreats. Just want to thank you on behalf of The Rock and Scott for partnering with us to make sure that could happen for Sean. So thank you very much, Wendy.
Well, we are beyond blessed to be able to be a part of that initiative that your community has taken on. We certainly think that pastors, you know, are on the front lines of ministry every day. And in a situation like this, you know, the whole country was just so moved by Sean's response to this, how he's serving those families, how he responded to the country. And the opportunity to do something to give back to him was just a no-brainer for us. So thank you for letting us be part of that.
For sure. Now, I think what Sean did, when he spoke at that vigil just two short days after the crash, I think it woke a lot of people up to something that a lot of pastors are encountering on a week-to-week, day-to-day basis, is that, hey, yes, there are spiritual leaders, but they can be hit hard just as much as anyone in terms of really anything, something such as this, something going on within their own family, illness, death in the family, even the possibility of things like work burnout. It varies from person to person and pastor to pastor. Hey, they need that chance to recover, recharge. Just so many things. They really, it sounds funny in some ways, but no, they really are just like us.
They really are. And, you know, you can pour water out of a glass, but when it is empty, it's empty. And if you're not continually refilling it, there will come a time when there's nothing left to give. And, you know, pastors and ministry leaders are giving and giving and giving all the time. And yeah, that's one of the reasons that we established Careth Retreats. Is so that they won't run out. You know, we serve people when they come from situations of burnout or extreme fatigue, but we really want to serve people before they even get to that point and, you know, replenish their reservoir before it runs out. So, you know, we hope that the majority of people who come to us are not coming in crisis, but are coming, you know, just to keep filled and to keep being able to give out and love and serve the people that they're tasked with serving. And, you know, most of our leaders, most of our pastors are very sacrificial and very giving, but, you know, it's a wonderful opportunity for us to come alongside and make sure that they receive back, you know, and so we appreciate churches and communities that will come together and encourage them to take the time and provide the resources to come.
Well, and I think it showed, too, that even pastors, faith leaders, they're all struggling just as much as the next person over something such as that crash that took place outside Humboldt. Sean said it himself that just even that own frustration himself that he couldn't find any glimmer of light until it was from other pastors reminding him of verses, just different things that could provide spiritual comfort was, well, God's word for one.
Yeah, we really have to depend on that. I think in times like this, you know, we all want answers. you know, why did these things happen? Why would God permit these things to happen? And, you know, I just appreciated his humility to be able to admit that it's not easy to know and that in some ways we may never know. Mm. But God is still faithful and God walks beside us. And that is the truth that we have to cling to at times like this.
Right. Now, it's great that you're working with Careth Retreats as executive director, and then that also works alongside just being involved with the counseling and care ministries with focus on the family. So let's talk a bit more about that other role that you have. Obviously, Careth Retreats, in a way, focuses on counsel and care of our church leaders, but just the counseling and care ministries that focus on the family as a whole and what that's like for you.
Yeah, we have a team of counselors here in our office who offer counseling Monday to Fridays from about 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., and people from across the country can call us. Our team schedules an appointment with the counselor so that you can speak to them at a time that's convenient for you and works for the counselor so that we can fit in all of the people who call. The initial call is free. Our donors have supported this ministry to the degree that we're able to offer that at no charge to callers, and they can speak with a professional counselor. These are people who have professional counseling degrees. They are accountable to a professional body, and they provide really good support to people. Then we also maintain a referral network of Christian counselors across the country that when callers need a little additional care and service, we refer them out to people that we've screened that line up with Focus on the Family's beliefs and practices, and we're glad to give out those names and that information to callers so that you can go to somebody that you trust closer to your own community.
Now, with a lot of people obviously have been affected by this tragedy, and it just seems like as people are starting to lift their heads out of maybe a bit of a fog in regards to what happened with the Broncos there or something in Toronto takes place, and boom, now it just seems like our heads go right back down and just wondering, really, what now? I guess, what kinds of things in terms of support, mechanisms, if you will, like what sorts of things are being provided for people, say, when they call in to get some counseling and support when people are going through a tough time? And hey, let's face it, it doesn't even take something such as a huge tragedy, such as an incident, say, involving Humboldt or Toronto, but just anyone's own personal hardship.
Yeah, I mean, when people call us, you know, we try to kind of walk them through to what the next step will be. We try to listen well to what they've experienced, whether that is, a really major tragedy, or whether it's just, you know, a simple crisis that's going on in your own family. We try to listen well. We try to help people figure out what the next step might be, whether that might be to go see a counselor. Maybe that might be to find some kind of resource in their community. Maybe there's a support group that could be helpful to them. You know, we try to be aware of resources. We have, you know, some really good books, and even some of our broadcasts are very helpful to people. So we try to kind of think in terms of what would be the next thing that could help people kind of manage the situation that they're dealing with. And, you know, whether it's big or small, we just want to make sure that people are getting the support that they need. And sometimes you just need somebody to listen well and say, hey, you know what, here's the next step out of this fog of, you know, confusion that you've been kind of walking through.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what our counselors are particularly good at doing is, okay, what's next? What can we do to help you get through this?
You mentioned something huge there is that a lot of time people are just looking for someone to just provide that listening ear. I suppose that's a great tidbit of advice for anyone who just feels like they don't know what to do when someone is opening up to them. They don't have any experience whatsoever in counseling to provide advice potentially to someone going through a hard time. But just listening, as an example, can go such a long way for someone.
Absolutely. And I think honestly, as someone who has experienced grief and someone who, you know, has watched others go through grief, I really think that being willing to listen to somebody is honestly the single most important thing that you can do, the single most significant thing. People need to process their grief. People need to process their feelings. And people just even need to talk about what happened. Where were they? What happened? What did you feel? What did you experience? And a person who will listen non-judgmentally to all those stories is providing an enormous service to the person who's experienced the loss.
For sure. Now, obviously, I think what Humboldt has done is that it's really provided a huge example for how people can best help a community such as Humboldt in terms of lending support to helping these people out in such a dark time. And in terms of, say, like the GoFundMe campaign, we've seen that. We saw people just starting prayer chains, if you will, letting people know that there's groups praying for them as well. What sorts of other things could another community do to support a community like Humboldt, for example?
Well, I think we've seen some great examples. You know, it really has felt like the entire country has kind of galvanized around this tragedy. You know, people in my community, there's a lady who makes things in jars, and she sells them. And she did a little project and said, you know, all of the things that I'm selling at this particular event this weekend are going to the tragedy in Humboldt, right? So she lives way out here on the West Coast, didn't know any of these people, but she felt like she needed to do something. And I think communities across the country, you know, families, schools, community centers, churches are reaching out in those kinds of ways. And, you know, donating money is one thing to do, but there's lots of things that you can do to reach out to families that have been impacted by tragedy. And certainly, I feel like everybody has kind of had this sense that I have to do something, you know, whether it's just praying, and, you know, not that prayer is a just thing. Praying is an important thing. You know, lifting up families in prayer is, I think, has great significance. But praying, donating, you know, giving, taking food, you know, the outpouring of flowers, you know, some people might think that's a waste of money. I think it's a lovely tribute and just a way of people saying, I got to do something. Here I am. Here's my flowers. This is my offering of love to you. And it means a lot to people.
What is focused on, just curious, in regards to the response, say, Humboldt, or maybe when other things have happened from a national standpoint?
Well, to be honest, you know, we just kind of usually sit back a bit and wait to see where we might be able to step in. You know, we're a relatively small office ourselves, but a couple of the things that have kind of come to our attention, somebody on our team suggested that we have a very wonderful book on grieving that's called Living with the Losses in Life, Recovering from Losses in Life. It's by a pastor by the name of H. Norman Wright. And it was suggested that we could send some copies of that book at no charge to the community. So we've actually reached out to Pastor Sean and asked if we can send him a box of those books to distribute to families that might be open to receiving one. We're also sending those to the radio station in Humboldt because we know that some of their employees were also lost in this tragedy. So those are just a few of the things. And then participating with you guys and the opportunity to send Pastor Sean to Careth Retreats, and then just our counseling lines that are open. The other ministry that we have as part of my team is an email ministry, so people quite often email Focus on the Family with, you know, this has happened in our lives, what do we do, where do we go? And so my team also responds to those emails and directs a lot of those inquiries to our counseling team, but it's just another way that we can reach out to families.
Yeah, well, I know just so many people have been affected by this directly, indirectly. We talk about, I think that's why, in a way, though, there's been such compassion for Humboldt, not just because hockey is such a big deal in Canada, but there are just so many ties to, you had a variety of victims, just as an example, from the young people to the adults who had their own families. So you have young ones who are grieving over the loss of a dad, a grandpa, in terms of the bus driver. For the parents, now they are dealing with the loss of a child, which is incredibly hard to deal with. And I know just so many people, just their heart aches for everyone in that situation. Paramedics, as an example, there's talk about how, you know, those people are going to need a lot of support too from what they witnessed at the scene. Emergency doctors, professionals, in terms of that, this was just so far-reaching in so many different ways, and it's going to have that lasting impact. But yet, despite all of the tragedy that took place, there's been so many shining examples of good that came from it. Interesting stories in terms of how the support that is rallied behind, you know, helping these the families, if you will, financially, in terms of different ways these young men are going to live their lives. Some going to be wheelchair bound, if you will, not colleagues necessarily, but people just coming forward, sharing their stories that, hey, this isn't the end. As hard as this is for you right now, there's still hope and light at the end of the tunnel for many of you. And I guess as well, in terms of just support, where did my train of thought go? But just in terms, I suppose, of how people coming out in such droves to donate blood, realizing how important it is that people keep up with donations to keep such a thing going. Organ donations on account of the one young man who announced his intention to leave his behind, and now I guess was used in someone who's now able to continue their life as a result of the generosity of the young man who left his organs behind. Bringing awareness to these kinds of things, it's bringing just that glimmer of, wow, amazing what has come out of something so unfortunate, that God's still present and still working in people for this to have a lasting impression on people to make change for the better.
I think so, and I think that's really what we're seeing is that even out of tragedy, and we should never minimize the tragedy that's occurred here, but even out of tragedy, God can bring good things. And, you know, the good that he planted in people's hearts, you know, is emerging at times like this. Yeah, very inspiring. You know, the first responders and the medical people and, you know, everyone who did such an outstanding job, you know, to serve these families. And, I mean, that young man, I heard there were hundreds of people that signed up to be organ donors as a result of his story. You know, and yeah, what an impact all of that is going to have on many people to come. And, you know, not that we would have ever wanted this to happen, but, you know, that somehow good can come out of even a bad thing. You know, that, I think, is the basis of our faith.
Mm-hmm.
The basis of, you know, why we cling to God at times like this. And, you know, why we, you know, when we reach the end of ourselves, we have nothing left at the end of the day. There's, you know, I think this is why I believe in God, is because, you know, we just see that there's something better and higher and you know, behind even bad things.
Mm-hmm. Wendy Kittlitz, our guest today on All You Ever Wanted to Know, Vice President of Counseling and Care Ministries with Focus on the Family Canada, and also the Executive Director of Careth Retreats, branch of Focus on the Family. And again, we've been talking in light of obviously the tragedy that has happened and has gotten so much attention on a national level, but recognizing though too that everyone does have their own personal tragedies as well, and important to get the support and counseling, even in some ways, just support whenever it's needed, that someone can reach out and get the help that they need. So, Wendy, let's give someone, maybe they are struggling and listening, wondering how they can maybe reach out for that first time to get some support, maybe in the form of Focus on the Family lending a hand. What step can people take to get some help?
Well, they can call us at 1-800-661-9800. Our phone lines are staffed during the day between about 8 a.m. and 4 p.m. with our counseling team. They can call and schedule an appointment to speak with one of our counselors, and we'd be happy to hear from them. 1-800-661-9800. If you wanted to post that even on your website, we'd be happy to hear from people.
For sure. Great. Was there anything else you wanted to add before we wrap things up for today?
Well, I think, you know, in summary, I think one of the things that's just really, really important to remember, and I just, whenever I think about people experiencing loss, there's just two things that I think are first and foremost. The first is to listen, to to listen non-judgmentally to anything somebody needs to say. People that are experiencing loss need a safe place to process what they're feeling. And if, you know, you can find a safe place in your family, in your community, in your church, you may not need a counselor. Counselors are there to be those safe people when you can't find safe people anyplace else. You know, when somebody experiences grief, there's a need to just to continually talk, to tell stories about the person that you've lost, to tell stories about what happened, just, you know, to maybe even tell the same story 100 times or more. So listen. You know, if people need to talk, invite them to talk. You know, the most damaging thing we can do to people is to say, you know what, it's time. You need to be over this. You know, people won't get over this quickly. People need to talk. People need to process. People need to be listened to. And that's just such a gift. And then the second thing, I think, is to provide practical supports. You know, go do something. I have a good friend here at the office who's African. And in their culture, when somebody dies, you just go. And you just sit in their home. And you might not even do anything except sit there. But it's that active presence in somebody else's life. And I think to add to that, then, to do something practical. You know, take a meal. You know, offer to clean their bathroom. Offer to run them to an errand. You know, offer to do something that is just a practical help. People feel numb and confused in the wake of tragedy, in the wake of grief. And any practical help that you can offer, I think, is of enormous value. So the closer you are to a family, the more personal you can get with that. But I think that's why people do things like give money, because that's, you know, that's their only way of being connected to people. I think this is really a time that prompts a community, a family, a nation to feel a greater sense of connectedness to one another. And I think that's kind of the beauty of what happens, is that we reach out and we try to do something to connect meaningfully with people that have suffered loss.
Right. Well, and it just goes to show how one wants to be treated. That is how one should act in a lot of ways, too. It goes a long way as well in that regard. So, Wendy, I want to thank you so much again for joining us again. Wendy Kittlitz, our guest from Focus on the Family with Counseling and Care Ministries, along with Careth Retreats. Some great advice, not only in regards to what has happened in the past couple of weeks here in Saskatchewan, but whenever someone you know just down the street or from your own church is going through a hard time, how you can be of great help to them. Thanks again, Wendy.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me.
It's All You Ever Wanted to Know on The Rock 98.5. Until next time, have yourself a wonderful day and be blessed.